Hi, I'm Jeff, and I'm a therapist.
And I'm Tyler, and I'm a patient.
We're going to talk about trauma, healing, and everything. Everything is traumatic. Yeah, I'm a little bit nervous. This is Jeff, this is our podcast, Everything is Traumatic. And we do want to do our shout outs really quick because Tiffy and our super fan.
Tiffy, our super fan. Tiffy Falfer.
Ooh, dude, blah, 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 blah. And we've had some other people that have, I think, just sort of said some nice things or have listened or shared. Jacob Boyd, Seth Young has been listening some.
Seth Young.
Rafi. I call him Rafi, but Rafi said he listened to a little bit.
Did he?
So a local filmmaker who I saw recently. So, I mean, we appreciate you listening. We appreciate interest or shares. We know people are busy, so anybody that takes the time out of their day to listen, we appreciate it.
God, yeah, I didn't realize all these people were listening. So thank you, Jacob. Yeah. Jacob Boyd, thank you. Yeah. Seth Young, thank you. Actually, I think Seth did mention that to me, but thank you, Seth.
Yeah.
And yeah. Thank you, Rafi. I had no idea Rafi was listening.
Now, they are not at the super fan level as that Tiffy is on.
No, Tiffy.
Tiffy is like at a different plane. And we're not putting anybody down, but she is definitely on a different level.
Tiffy is fucking on it. She rounds the whole family up to listen.
She rounds the family up. She's listening multiple times. And we're not paying her or whatever. She's just very interested, very supportive, a very talented lady. Mm. Wonderful person.
Beautiful family.
Yes, we appreciate her.
Yeah.
But I'm a little nervous because we did last episode, you asked me some insane questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you guys haven't...
And apparently you're going to tell me how deranged I am today.
That's right. So if you didn't listen to the last episode before this one, you should listen to it because I had Jeff take a moral foundations test. And I had such wonderful questions as using a condom and the pill, a brother and sister decide they want to have sex with each other just once to see how it is.
Yep. Is that okay or not okay?
And yes. And Jeff answered this on a scale of okay to not okay. And we have the results in. So I think we're going to talk about those and then jump into
I am a little anxious, but I will be okay.
Yeah. You know, I'm anxious too, actually. You know, I think you're all anxious. Right. I'm feeding into your anxiety a little bit, or my anxiety.
I've got my fingers crossed just in case.
And so we'll read the results. We'll talk about, we'll do the explanations of the moral foundations again. And I guess I'll do that first. And then we'll talk about morality in general and whatever, wherever the hell we go. So I hope that sounds good to everyone. You guys are tuned in, turned on, and strapping it down.
Yes.
Let me explain the moral foundations that we scored this test on. So we scored it best based on care, fairness, loyalty, authority, purity, and liberty.
Okay.
So, Jeff.
Yes, sir.
Are you ready?
Yes, boss.
So, your morality is closest to that of a left liberal.
A what?
A left liberal.
Well, that's who I am.
Yeah, you scored very similarly to me on this test.
Okay.
It was pretty crazy.
All right.
So like I also got this, you have no one strongest moral foundation. So like there's not one that is like the core of you. But here are your scores.
Okay.
On care, you got 100%.
Wow.
100% on care. Yes. This foundation pertains to our need to care for our young and to form bonds of attachment to others. It underlies the virtues of kindness and nutrients. Nutrients? I don't know.
Nutrients?
Nutrients? And it's tied urine. And it's tied to emotions such as protectiveness and compassion. Left liberals typically score the highest on this dimension. Conservatives the second highest, and libertarians the lowest.
Okay.
So you care about
that? I'm pleased with that. I feel good about that.
You feel good about that? That's good. So on fairness, you got 100%.
Okay.
This foundation pertains to our ability to maintain cooperative and mutually beneficial relationships. It underlies the virtues of honesty, justice, and dependability. It is tied to emotions such as gratitude, anger, and guilt. Left liberals typically score higher on this dimension than conservatives and libertarians. So you're going to find this a lot in these answers or these explanations, that they kind of tie it to like a virtue kind of thing, to like an emotion that it's tied to as well.
Gotcha.
All right. So I'm just going to go off the scale here. On loyalty, you got 14%.
14%?
14% on loyalty.
Wow.
Do you want to know how much I scored on loyalty?
How much did you score on loyalty?
Zero.
Okay.
So this foundation is derived from our species' long history of living as tribes and clans, enabling us to form cohesive communities. It underlines the virtues of patriotism, bravery, and self-sacrifice on behalf of the group. It is tied to emotions such as pride and a sense of belonging. Conservatives typically score higher on this dimension than left liberals and libertarians.
Okay. All right.
So it's weird, like, yeah, because at first you're like, loyalty, does that mean I'm not loyal to anyone? It's like, not necessarily. It means that you don't.
You're not loyal to the tribe, or to you might ask questions, or you might not do things just because you're supposed to.
Yes. That's probably why I scored zero, because I don't feel like I belong anywhere.
Yeah. All right.
So next we have authority. Authority, you scored 17%.
17%.
17% on authority. Now,
that sounds about right to me.
Right.
Maybe a little high.
I'm pretty sure I scored zero on that as well. This foundation was shaped by humanity's long history of bonding together and hierarchical social interactions. It underlies the virtues of respect for tradition and deference to legitimate authority. It is tied to emotions such as fear, respect, and awe, which I guess don't feel any of those. Conservatives typically score higher on this dimension than left liberals and libertarians.
Okay. Gotcha.
So it's like, basically I ain't a fucking bootlicker. on purity, Jeff, you scored 50%.
All right. In the middle.
Right in the middle of purity there. So this foundation pertains to our species' need to avoid disease and parasites. It underlies the phenomenon of cultural taboos and fuels the commitment to live in a manner that abstains from indulgence and sensory desires. It is tied to emotions such as sanctity, piety, thank you, and disgust. Conservatives typically score higher on this dimension than left liberals and libertarians.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure I also scored a zero on that.
All right.
Because mine, like, I didn't do, like, any in-the-middle things. I went through either okay or not okay.
Yeah. I was a little more. Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong. A lot of people are more moderate like that.
Yeah. You know?
So our last result, liberty. Jeff, you scored 33%.
Liberty. Okay.
This foundation is related to the individual's need to be his own master and to avoid the dominant social mores imposed by the group. It underlies the virtues of independence and autonomy. I can't
say autonomy. Yeah. Autonomy.
Autonomy. Yes. Fuck. We're leaving this all in too, just so everyone can understand that I have a very loose grasp on reading and pronunciation.
Well, I think we need to just let people know that we don't always know all the words.
Hey, that's true. Look at you, Jeff. You're absolutely right. Okay. It is tied to emotions such as self-sufficiency and defiance. Libertarians typically score the highest on this dimension, conservatives the second highest, and left liberals the lowest.
So how did you score on that one?
I scored 100%.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I thought you would. Yeah, that sounds like... Because you are an anarchist.
Fucking tolls,
burn
man.
It all down.
Burn it all down. That's well, right.
I feel okay about those results.
I think it was pretty accurate.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So there's also an explanation of the political groups, if you want to hear that.
Yeah, let's hear that.
So we'll do your results. Left liberalism. Individuals in this group seek to uphold individual liberty while taxing the market to provide social benefits for those in need. They tend to see themselves as seeking balance between individual liberty and social justice, and to be in favor of multiculturalism, secular government, and international cooperation. While they are typically skeptical of state involvement in social affairs, they nevertheless see a legitimate role for the state in combating discrimination and ensuring equal treatment. Left liberals typically have a care and fairness-based morality, which you scored 100% on. So that.
And so what conservatives?
Individuals in this group seek to retain the traditional social and economic order and to uphold the sovereignty of the state. They tend to see themselves as the defenders of what their forebears would have wanted, favoring strict immigration laws, traditional values, and a strong military. While they typically see a role for the state in matters of national security and culture, they tend to be more skeptical of state involvement in the economy. Conservatives typically have a balanced morality where all six foundations are represented in roughly equal portions.
Okay.
So it's
you
like,
know, left liberal or liberal and conservative are used as slurs a lot of times, but those descriptions do not sound like slurs. They just sound like an explanation of your philosophy of government
and
the role of government. And if we could actually use that as not a slur and just say this is a different way to look at the world, a different way to look at the role of government. I think we might be a better place.
Yeah, instead of arguing about the differences, there's actually quite a bit of similarities between those two.
Yeah. So what is libertarian? I know what libertarian is, but what does this describe libertarian as?
So individuals in this group seek to uphold liberty as the prime political good in all respects. They tend to see themselves as a staunch supporters of both personal and economic freedom, and are deeply skeptical of collective plans and goals, stressing instead the principle of voluntary association and the individual's capacity to make his own judgments. They typically see less of a role for the state than individuals in the other two groups, believing instead in the spontaneous social order of the market. Libertarians typically have a liberty-based morality. So even with that, it doesn't sound like a slur.
No. I feel like that I have some libertarian thoughts and ideas.
I mean, I scored 100% on liberty, so I definitely do too. Or at least very much individualism. Because that's what it sounds like. That's what this sounds like to me.
It's a real easy... I was talking to somebody earlier today about how we are tribalistic and how we like to... We like to have a very easy category. Mm-hmm. So we like to say conservatives good, conservatives bad, liberals good, liberals bad, libertarians good, libertarians bad. So we want to categorize each other and then we want to moralize it. So we want to say, I'm a liberal and I'm going to hang around with liberals because we're good mm-hmm. and the conservatives are bad, or vice versa, or whatever it is, you know, libtards, whatever you want to say. Mm-hmm. And that's such a tribalistic way to look at things. And I think that's really sort of, we see these immediate kind of flags. And so I've been talking about the Barbie movie with you a little bit. And so you mm-hmm. immediately have, when you go into Barbie, I think if you're more liberal or left-leaning, you're going to see certain things in a certain way than if you are more conservative. And so I think, but what we've had are people that are just coming out and saying, this is good because, even if they haven't seen it, because I think it's liberal, or this is bad because I think it's not conservative or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so you get these preconceived ideas before you even experience something. And that's what I think our country does. It's just like, you know, we take a side immediately without any thought, without any kind of nuances, without even experiencing the thing that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. We're going to judge it.
Yeah. And, you know, I really hate that how much the word woke has been reappropriated.
Yeah.
To just mean anything that isn't conservative.
Yeah. The movie is woke.
It's like,
is a bad thing.
Yeah.
On some, but for some people, it's a good thing for some people.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it's the tribalism, which we always have. We are tribalist. We are homogeneous people. We like to be with people that look like us, talk mm-hmm. like us, mm-hmm. are in the same category as us, same social structure. We like that. That's what we do. And that's happened forever. But the tribalism, I think, in America and other in the world right now is even beyond that. Mm-hmm. It used to be more like, oh, I don't care if there's a country song that does this, or I care about this. And I feel like we think we have to say something about everything.
Everyone feels like they have a story. Everyone feels like they have a fucking opinion. And yes, they do.
Yeah.
And everyone's opinion is great. And it's great to hear it. But sometimes it's just not.
Well, it becomes a thing like, I'm going to use Bud Light, for example. It becomes a thing where whether you drink Bud Light or not, you have an opinion now, because Bud Light good, Bud Light bad.
It was never a good beer. It was just, Bud Light is like water. It's up. It's right next to fucking Pabst. Pabst is water. Bud Light is water. It was never a good beer. You give one right. trans person a beer, a can with their likeliness on it.
And you know what? If people want to not drink something, that's the way the free market works.
Just drink it.
Vote with your
beer.
Pocketbook. If Budweiser goes out of business, I don't care.
They're not.
It's the same thing with Barbie, though. I mean, people are like, oh, Barbie, blah, 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 blah. And it's like the biggest movie in the world right now. It's just like, so.
God, it is.
And this whole idea of I'm not going to support it, we're going to boycott it. It can destroy something. And if it does, that's the way the free market works.
That is how the free market works. The most fucked up thing is that they didn't even stand by them throughout that controversy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just ridiculous. They sent him a beer. They sent her a beer, excuse me, with a picture of her on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. They weren't going to market the beer. It was just like, here's an influencer. We're going to send them this. Just like you would send anybody anything.
Yeah.
And then just it's all like, of a sudden like, well, Bud Light support transgenders.
Yeah. They like so many businesses send just swag bags or like a support thing.
Everybody.
It's called sponsorship. It's called, they're going to, do you notice how every fucking thing now is like, hey, before we get into it, I want to give a quick shout out.
Yeah. To our sponsors,
which by the way,
we would love to have Bud Light as our sponsor.
I do want to take some time to give a shout out to our sponsors over at Bud Light.
Yes. You know, the whole thing is, this is the deal. Anheuser-Busch does not care about people. They care about profits.
Companies.
That's their bottom line.
Yep,
is shareholder value. And that's every single corporation, company, whatever.
Companies.
That's what they do.
do not care about. Big corporations, I will say. I think some businesses can and actually do care about people.
Yes, I'm talking about corporations.
Yes.
Publicly traded corporations, their job is to make money for their stockholders. Mm-hmm. That's about it.
Mm-hmm. Same with movie studios.
And if anything good happens, they do any good, that's just like an after effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and that's, anyway. Yeah, that's. And you're right, though, with the tribes. We are like a tribalistic thing, and it's weird how, and I might be remembering this wrong. I say remembering like I was there, but I feel like I looked up a little bit about it, and I'm probably wrong, but fuck it. Farming is kind of what broke up tribes to an extent, or at least the idea of everyone is this big community. And when I mean community, I mean like everyone takes care of the kids. It's like, it's not one ma, it's not one person or this person, it's not two people, it's this whole community that watches the kids. And it's, there's hunters and there's gatherers and there's people that really have, it's pretty much like this giant polycule, like this giant polyamorous relationship, but it's community. And you know, you have your strong hunters and gatherers who go out and do shit, and farming and commerce kind of fucked it up for all of us.
Yeah, I mean, and I think in the olden times, yes, we did have very tribal societies, but you were also struggling to live and survive. And so your daily life was a lot of struggling to survive. And we've taken, not that people don't struggle to survive today, but we have taken a lot of that out of, so we have all this extra energy and time. And so what do we do with it? We become armchair warriors where we type things on Facebook, and I've done it, I do it. And we're like, I'm going to fix this problem by making a post on Facebook, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just, we're not affecting anything, because the people that agree, you're not going to change anybody's mind. The people that agree with you will jump on and be your team, mm-hmm. and the other people will be another team, and then you'll fight. Mm-hmm.
But God, don't you love just scrolling through like some messy ass comment sections?
Yeah, sometimes. I try not to comment anymore. We've talked about this, but I have a little bit of a naughty hair that likes to stir shit up sometimes. So I'll make a post. I'm trying to be better, where I'm just like, you know what? Like, I even with my Barbie comment, because I love Barbie. I thought Barbie was great. I just pretty much said it was good. I didn't go on and saying like, it's the greatest movie ever. It was just like, I enjoyed this movie. Go see it. But I'm just too tired to fight. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that makes sense. And you know, like it really is just, it just makes everyone look messy, but we fucking love a mess.
Yeah. Drama is exciting. And then the righteousness. And so this is what I'm trying to get my head around. And this is tough for me. The people that are the exact opposite of me in their political or the way they see the world, they believe that what they think is correct. I believe what I think is correct. We both honestly believe there are people that don't believe what they're talking about, that are just trying to stir up stuff. But the people that disagree with you really believe they're right. They really believe that their way is best. I think both political parties, or the majority of both political people, believe, one side believes if Donald Trump gets elected, the world, the United States is over. The other side believes that if Biden gets elected again, then the world is over. The United States is over. And then there's probably a group of libertarians that are just like, neither one of those guys, if either one of those guys gets there. So people honestly believe that. It's not all, I mean, and so I'm trying to remember that. They believe what they believe, just like what I believe. And so it's hard to, it's just important to remember.
Yeah, it's hard to, because it's their reality.
Yeah.
In their reality, they truly think this is happening.
And this is there are some realities that are science, and it's just like, so like, there are certain things that's like, the Earth is not flat. So you can believe that, but you're wrong. Mm-hmm. We don't know what's going to happen, whether who's going to be elected. We don't know that. We can sort of guess and look at trends, but we don't know. There's not a scientific fact here. So I'm not talking about scientific fact. There are things that we know. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to believe otherwise, if you want to believe we didn't make it to the moon, that's fine. But we did. It's just the truth. But when you get to political ideations, we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we can just say, I think this is what's going to happen. Or this track record makes me think this is going to happen. But we don't know. So it's more of a honest disagreement than saying the Earth is flat or COVID did not exist or
listen,
nobody died from COVID. Or
Jeff, I know someone who doesn't believe that we landed on the moon.
God bless them. Bless their hearts.
That's what's difficult about trying to implicate radical empathy with.
Well, and some of it is, I think you have to, or you feel like, and this is going to sound like a bash on religion, and it sort of is, fundamental religion. You begin to have to explain away things to stick with your belief system. So if you are a very strict, fundamental, inerrantist Bible believer who thinks that the earth was created in a literal 7 days or 6 days and then they rested, that causes problems. So you have to create these narratives to explain that. So that's why some people believe the earth is only 6,000 years old, that the dinosaurs and humans live together, and that the fossils are, that you have to create these realities that go against reality to keep your belief system intact. So anyway,
well, I think like the point I was going to get at is just like, Not meeting these people halfway, but it's all right to agree to disagree. Now, there are some issues where it is impending on someone's life that it's a hard no to agree or disagree with that. And
yes,
I'm fully understanding of that. I think there is a difference between someone being ignorant and then someone actually taking hateful action.
Totally different.
So yes. I think... And a lot of people say it's not my job to educate. If you don't have the energy to educate someone, then don't do it. It is not your responsibility. But comrade, if you want the revolution to happen, you got to educate.
and there are things where I feel like there are certain issues where people will say, well, it's just a matter of disagreement. Well, it's also a possible matter of life and death when people are being harmed because of your belief system. And so those are things we have to address.
Yep.
But there are other things where it's just like, we don't know about things. I think that anything that harms anybody else, we have to look at and be cautious about.
See,
for example, should marijuana be legalized? I think so. It makes sense.
Right.
Because if we do it that way, it's going to be safer for people in general, and we don't have to put people in jail. Cops don't have to worry about it. So things like that,
Jeff, it makes sense to me.
I
would take it a step further and say that all drugs should be legalized. So just for that very reason. So it is regulated. So it is, you know, exactly what you're going to be getting. Yeah.
And that's a libertarian kind of idea. And that's one of the ways that I'm libertarian. I feel like sex workers should not have to be under the cover of fear of being under a pimp or whatever.
Oh,
I feel like when it's things like where it's just like, okay, so like, I'm not sure I'm very worried about pot at all. I mean, it feels like we haven't done enough research. But again, if you're making a choice, you're an adult, blah, blah, blah. Same thing with sex. Make a choice. If you're an adult,
mm-hmm.
It's totally fine. Harder drugs, I agree with you on that. It's a more complicated thing. But I'd much rather a person that has a substance use issue being taken drugs that are created by the government instead of some guy in a basement.
Exactly.
You know, that's like,
and it wouldn't, so in a free market, it wouldn't be like, I'm sure there'd be government regulated heroin. Sure. I mean, you kind of already have that with Suboxone, but
and methadone. We have clinics that are government run to basically get people off of
drugs,
heroin, and get them on, I guess, an opioids now with Suboxone.
And I mean, that's just what's like, that's going to be a reality anyway. So wouldn't you rather these addicts try to get the substance that isn't going to straight kill them, like fentanyl, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if we really say that we are concerned about the people that become victims of substance use, we don't want them to die. So if they're going to use, we want them to use good, clean needles. We want them to have a place to be so that they are not in the middle of nowhere. We don't want them to have to steal to get their drugs. So we want to set it up so they can get their drugs. They're safe. Well, they can use them. And there's a place for them to be. Mm-hmm. That's the true care. And we would only criminalize things where there was violence or danger. So, but if drugs were legal, that would cut out so much of the nefarious drug stuff, because people steal money to get drugs. Mm-hmm. If they can get their drugs, then they don't have to steal for that.
And that's the thing too, is like, you're not going to eliminate drug crime. Okay, because alcohol is legal and you still have DUI, drunk driving accidents.
Yeah. People are still going to do bad things. And then they should be punished for those things, but if they hurt somebody.
For the simple just fact of harm reduction, of the fact that an entire generation was pushed pharmaceuticals on them, and then now they're all addicts and we want to demonize them, is not right. And I've mentioned this many a times, like, I'm just as guilty of having that mindset of just being like, oh, fucking addict, he's never going to fucking change. It's, you know, they have to want to change. And if they don't want to change, then we have the choice to not associate with them.
Yeah.
As an individual.
Yeah. And I mean, we've talked about this. I am not a person that's used hardly any drugs at all. I mean, I've had drugs, over the counter drugs, and stuff for when I've had teeth, and I've tried some like Delta 8 stuff, but like not much. But it doesn't matter. I think the whole deal is, it doesn't hurt me, it doesn't hurt anybody for somebody to use pot or whatever. It may hurt people to use cocaine or heroin or whatever, but I'd much rather those people to be safe than to be using whatever they can find and stealing money and hurting other people to get their drugs. Mm-hmm. I'd rather them be able to get them at a dependable place. And we have the system already set up with Suboxone and Methadone. Yep. We've already created those legal drugs in a government program to help them to keep from getting sick.
Yeah. Because, I mean, there's people that's died trying to get off of it. That's how Jerry Garcia died.
Yeah. So that's one of the things where I just say we don't need to be in everybody's business about everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, it's a hard balance between individualism and sense of community. And I think we're experiencing it with, like, friendships and stuff, even, like in an emotional sense. Or a sense of community sense, because a lot of people nowadays are very, like, secluded. They don't have a lot of friends. They're very individual, and that's how they, when you have people become kind of directionless, it's easy for them to be easily impressed upon. And I think that's where this whole manosphere stuff is kind of, like, grown in the past, like, what, 10 years? 5 years?
Yeah.
What year is it?
What year is this? I don't know, man. 2023?
Yeah, that's the year. That's the ticket, Jeff.
You know, and like this thing we've just talked about all drug legalization, I can see a counterpoint that can have very good arguments on why we should not legalize.
Sure.
To me, pot is a no-brainer, but I could see a very logical, caring argument for why we should not legalize drugs. That's a totally different thing. I could see us having a discussion, because those are things that I think we can say, yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah, because, you know, like, I know there's a good argument for it, and I even get it, because there is a part of me that's like, I don't want fucking heroin and meth legalized.
Yeah.
But to hold certain chemicals, because that's what all of this is. That's what all of this is about. This isn't about pot. Like, pot,
right,
the flower contains the chemicals that get you high. So it's all about chemicals. If you put two chemicals above all the other brain-altering chemicals, that's not good. It's not, it's, I don't think that's a good thing. Why are they on a pedestal? Because that's...
Well, if we just think, if we could take everybody that was in jail for possession or use, think of how much money that would save.
Well, there goes our free labor. There goes our car plates. There goes our license plates, Jeff.
That's true. We need those license plates. Where would we get our license plates?
Like,
they'd actually have to pay somebody a wage to make those license plates.
That's terrible. Yeah, you know, I want to tell you this fact, and then I want to get into, because you said you had something for me.
Oh, I've got something for you.
Yeah, something for me. So I want to. Did you know that 60% of the chocolate made has been made with child labor?
60% of chocolate?
60% now? Of the chocolate made today, yes.
Well, that's a whole nother rabbit hole we would go into, because I am a left-leaning liberal, but I have a love for Apple products. And obviously, Apple products are made in sweat labor, and the lithium for all the batteries, for all the things that we use, like these electric cars and stuff, are mined by... in horrible conditions. Jeff. So it's just like, it's very convenient for me to be a left liberal in our country and sort of have pleasantries and niceties based on the back of children and horrible labor practices. Mm-hmm. So I'm a hypocrite.
So let the kids work is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I mean, it's
it's like, you don't have to openly endorse child labor, Jeff. I won't let you.
But I mean, you know, and it's a thing where that's so far removed from our understanding. We know it, but it's so far away. It's just like, oh, I'm just not going to think about that too much. Right. But yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible.
So what you got for me, Jeff?
All right. So this is a classic morality question from Lawrence Kohlberg, who created...
Is this the trial?
Who had a study for basically the stages of moral development.
Okay.
And so he had a question. You may have heard this question before. It's a very common thing. It's taught in psychology classes.
Is this the trolley thing?
No, it's not the trolley thing.
Fucking trolley.
Yeah, the trolley thing is a more of a philosophical question, but it's the same kind of thing.
Okay.
So there's a man named Hans. Mm-hmm. Hans' wife has cancer. A man in Hans' town has created a drug that will cure her cancer. It costs $2,000. Okay? And Hans does not have $2,000.
Okay.
So the question is it okay for Hans to steal the drug to give to his wife?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So, so when I do this, when I used to teach classes, what I would start off is like, let's talk about, is stealing right or wrong?
Stealing is wrong.
Almost everybody says stealing is wrong.
Stealing is wrong.
And then, you know, is lying right or wrong? Lying is wrong. So, and then you would say, how about this? And then the class would go about half and half. A half would say it's okay to steal. Other half would say it's not okay to steal. Mm-hmm. So you say it's okay to steal. Okay. So a cop who is a friend of Hans catches him.
Oh no.
Should the cop turn his friend in for stealing the drug?
No.
Why not?
Because that's his friend and he knows his friend has cancer. His wife has cancer.
Okay. And that's another one that divides, because some people will say it's the policeman's job. The policeman has to do his job. Other people will say, no, it's his friend. He needs to let him go. So the policeman does turn Hans in.
Oh, no.
Hans goes before the court. Mm-hmm. The judge finds him guilty. Mm-hmm. And the judge has two options. The judge can send him to jail, or the judge can put him on probation. Which one should the judge do?
Probation.
Probation. And that's another split. Some people will say the judge has to make an example, because if the judge doesn't do something, then everybody will just start stealing things.
This ain't the case.
Then the other side says, well, he didn't. He was trying to save his wife, so it was for good, and so he shouldn't get punished for it.
This is not the case to make an example of. The man's wife has cancer. You're going to let him sit in jail and let his wife just die of cancer?
And some people will say Hans is the bad guy, but some people will say the guy that has the drug is being greedy, because he should do something that's right for the woman that's going to die. Mm-hmm. But other people will say, well, it's his money. It's his drug. He took the risk. He created it. Mm-hmm. He took all the kind of thing. And so he should have the right to charge whatever he wants to for it.
Absolutely. There should be.
So it's all these different kind of levels. And so asking children and people these questions, he sort of came up with different levels of morality, which were at start very concrete and rigid, that are like stealing is wrong no matter what. So if you ask a kid says stealing is wrong no matter what. No, he can't ever steal it because stealing is wrong. And then as we develop, we get into those grays. Well, like, yes, stealing is wrong, but health of this woman is more important than that. So it's okay for him to steal the drug because people are more important than a set law or rule.
And why is the system broken enough to where there is not an affordable version of that medicine? Because it's inherently classist to think that, I don't know, poor people get cancer. Oh, well, like $2,000 is a lot.
That's a lot. So there's another thing that he asked children. So he instructed children. He told a story. He goes, so a young boy is told, go home. Do not stop for any reason until you get home. And so on the way, they run into a child that has fallen and hurt themselves and says, will you please help me? Children that are a certain age, usually I think probably like 7 or 8 or younger, what do you think they do?
Help them?
They go home because they're told by an authority figure to go home. And you do what you're told. As they got older, they stopped to help the other person. Why do you think they stopped to help the other person?
Because you should help people.
What did you say?
Because you should help people, right?
Yeah, and they also could say, if I was hurt, I would want somebody to help me.
Yeah.
So it goes from that rigid, just authoritarianism where you just do what you're told to, I'm going to say, even though it's selfish, I would want somebody to help me if I was hurt. And then it eventually develops into a universality where you do the right thing, even if the society says that's the wrong thing. And we look at people like Martin Luther King or Gandhi or Jesus, people that are able to look at the bigger picture and say, I know this is what the society says, and I'm going to be possibly putting myself in danger by making this call, but I'm going to make the right call because it's the right call universally. Yeah. And so it's sort of like those different levels.
Yeah. Because you have to kind of get kids used to the idea of just for one thinking. So you kind of present things in black and white.
Yeah.
And then as they get older, they're starting to see that it's not black and white. It's actually gray.
Yeah. And that's something like sort of like what we were talking about. Sometimes people do not get past the black and white point. Mm-hmm. They're never able to see the gray. Yeah, so and that's not meaning that they're not intelligent. It has nothing to do with that. But some people stick with that very black and white. This is the way. There is no other way. Mm-hmm. And then other people are able to get to a point where they can see some grays. And my thought process is, sadly, most of the world is gray. Mm-hmm. Most of things are gray. and we have to look at situations.
I mean, yes, there are some things that are black and white, sure, but for the most part, it is gray.
But you look at the whole thing, like, so you ask the question, is it okay to kill somebody? Mm-hmm. Well, the initial is no, but then it's like, well, what if they're breaking into your house? What if it's during war? What if they've committed a horrible crime and we're putting them to death? So it's like, even that, that's a very clear, like, we don't kill anybody. There's all these things, but what if, but what if, but what if, but what if the situation?
Oh, go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, I have nothing else to say.
Oh. All of a sudden, it just poofed, Tyler.
It was like, poof.
I was just going to say, I even forgot what I was going to say. Fuck. No, that's not cool. Fuck. Okay. See, I interrupted you for no reason, Jeff, but you know what? I think it's reached its logical conclusion here. What do you think?
Yeah, I feel like we've solved some problems today.
I think I like this morality discussion. It is very interesting of like, yeah, it's not black and white. It never really is.
Yeah. Morality is traumatic.
Morality is traumatic. Any final thoughts here, Jeff? You got anything on your mind?
We are very happy if you're listening to us. Just keep listening. Tell us if you want to. We are on different things. So let us know if you have a topic you want us to talk about or you just want to talk. We wish you health. We don't care if you are libertarian, left, liberal, or conservative. We care about you. We want you to be healthy and happy. And that's all I got.
And from all of us here at Everything Is Traumatic, I'm Tyler.
I'm Jeff.
And as always, take care of yourself.